I know, Baruch Hashem for Shabbos. That's right. That's right. Okay, so what I said, the Gemara essentially asks, why do you only limit it to 8 cases? In reality, you can make it into 16 cases. To which the Gemara ultimately answers, so halokashia, bishlama bava deresha, potter umutter lo katoni. Elabava de seifa de potra aval osr kashia. So the Gemara says, the truth is like this. See, Rabbi Hussein, in the last set of cases in the Mishnah, there's a very good reason why it wasn't included, which is why, because those cases in the first case, not in the last case, in the first four cases, right, the two of the Ani, the two of the Balabayas, the reason why you can't subdivide those cases is because the other party is potter. So for example, in the case of where the Ani goes ahead and takes the basket, he's standing in Rosh Hashanah and extends his hand into the Rosh Hashanah, places the basket in the hands of the Balabayas, you can't divide that into two cases. Why not? Because it's only the Ani who's chayiv, but the Balabayas is mamish potter. Why? What? Balabayas didn't do anything. So the Gemara says, I understand that if you're not going to subdivide that into two cases, because you're not going to start counting cases that are potter umutter. Right? That's the Lashon over here. Potter umutter. Potter umutter means not only are you exempt from liability, but mamish, you didn't do anything. As opposed to in the last part of the Mishnah, where what? Those cases are potter avar asas. Remember, what was the last part of the Mishnah? That's where you have the collaborative malacha. Right? One person was doing the akira, one person was doing the malacha. So here's what's interesting. As much as neither are chayiv, right? Or say it differently. Both are potter, but what? It's still asur. It's still us, like we spoke about this morning, because halacha lemaisa, even if you didn't do the full malachwa, which will make you chayiv mid oraisa, you are still chayiv mid rabbanon. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. So meaning we're back down to 12 now. I understand if you're not going to go into 16, but at least though, so because you're not going to count. You're not going to subdivide the first section of the Mishnah, because in the first section of the Mishnah, only one person is chayiv, and the other one is potter umutter. And therefore, it makes sense that Tana is not going to count those among the cases of liability. As opposed to in the last part of the Mishnah, where again, yes, both cases are everybody's potter, and that nobody's chayiv mid oraisa, but it's still aser, to which the Gemara says.
Was Rav Nosson saying when he first said 12 cases? Referring to the last
ones,
Rav Masna is going to say
that Aloch Lamaisa, you could even subdivide the beginning of the Mishnah. Right, technically speaking, you could even subdivide the beginning of the Mishnah.
When he said the 12 cases, he was referring to the beginning of the Mishnah.
Kamashma, and now the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, why don't you make it into 16 cases? Which would then go ahead and include the last cases in the Mishnah as well, to which the Gemara answers, no, we're not going to count. That's what the Gemara says. Bishlama bava deresha. I understand why you don't want to subdivide the first part of the Mishnah. Why? Because pater umutra lo katani. Because those cases, right, those cases are mamish pat. Did I say it the reverse?
I think so.
Okay, I apologize.
I think the Masna's havamina was that he was subdividing the last cases.
Even the last cases.
Only the last cases. And they said, oh, but then subdivide the first cases. And the Gemara answers, no. That's Patr Mutter, we're not going to...
Rav Masna's whole chat, maybe I read it wrong. Rav Masna, here, look at Rashi. Let's go back for a second. Look at Tarti Sari Havyon. Ar Bo'achi Yuvei V'timnie Peture. The four that are Mutter, the four that are Aser, which are the first four cases in the Mishnah, Arbo'achiyuve, the first four that are chayiv, that are osir, v'timnei peture, and eight that will be mutter, which includes the last part of the Mishnah as well. I apologize. To which the Gemara now says, well, now I understand why you're not going to count the case, you're not going to subdivide the cases in the Reisha, because halach lemaisa, those are potter umutter. I'll only potentially include the cases that are potter aval aser. To which the Gemara says, well, one second. Mi ika bechulei Shabbos, potter umutter. Is there such a concept when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos that there's potter umutter? Meaning, is there such a concept like that? That something was not just potter midoraisa, but even mutter midrabanan? V'ha'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel said, Kol peturei de Shabbos, potter aval osur, bar mehanitlas. After all, Shmuel said that whenever you see potter on Shabbos, potter always means potter aval osur, with the exception of three cases, the potter umutter, where potter literally means potter umutter. What are the three cases? Seidas tzvi, seidas nachash, umafis mursa. So I will say, the Gemara later on, Rashi points out over here, kulu, the Perek Rabbi Elazar. So these we'll all see these later on, but just quickly, the case of Tzedas Tzvi, Tzedas Nachash Maf is more so the following. Tzedas Tzvi is a situation where you can't trap animals on Shabbos. If you go ahead and, but trapping, remember there's a very loose definition to trapping. If an animal is in a room, and you block the, you sit down, you bring up a chair, and you sit down at the entrance of the room, that's Tzeda. That's Seda. What Shmuel's case over here is fine. Let's say Reuven pulls up a chair by the entranceway. So he's already been in violation of Seda. Let's say then Shimon pulls up a chair next to Reuven. Right? So Shmuel would say that's a case of Potter Umutter. Why? Because Shimon didn't do anything. Seidas Nachash is a similar idea. Seidas Nachash is a case of where you're trapping the snake. Why? Because the snake poses a danger. It's what's called a malacha shein tzricha legufa, right? You're performing the malacha of capturing, of trapping, but not for the sake, not for the intended purpose of the malacha, right? The intended purpose of malacha of tzedah is why? Because you want the animal. Here, you're trapping the snake. Why? Because you want to save yourself from harm. So whereas normally we say that a malacha shein tzricha legufa, if you do a, we'll spend a lot of time on this, but quickly, if you do a malacha not for its intended purpose, let me say it in positive. If you do a malacha not for its intended purpose, under normal circumstances, we still say that you can't do it midirabanan. The exception over here will be because there's an element of sakana, not sakanas nefashos, because then obviously you can do whatever you need to do. But there's an element that we don't want people don't want to get bitten by snakes. That's case number two, Mafis Mursa. Mafis Mursa is the case of a person who opens up a boil. So the chap over there would be is that when you open up, interestingly enough, what's wrong with opening up a boil on Shabbos? So you would think because of shchita, because it causes bleeding. Interestingly enough, it's not really a problem of shchita because anything that's going to come out of the boil is already dislodged from the body. So it's not mufla. Interestingly enough, it's a problem of bona. It's a problem of bona. Why is it a problem of bona? Because when people would open up a boil, what they would do is they would go ahead and pass the mazona, that's what I'm talking about, right? And I'm kidding. Hey, so while a person would open up a boil, the whole chap would be, is that, I don't know why I keep going like this, I guess a boil could be anywhere. But the idea is that you would fashion an opening that would stay, right? Meaning if you try to open a boil, it could very easily close up again after you remove the pus or whatever else. The chap of opening a boil is you would want to create the pesach that would remain open, and that's like binyan. Mafis Morsa that Shmuel is referring to over here is a case where a person just wants to get out the pus, and they don't care if it closes back up. So it's also another type of malacha shenitzricha legufa. So the point that the Gemara is making over here is, you just told me before that the first cases of the Mishnah, the guy who's not chayiv, by definition, is what? Potter umutter. To which the Gemara says, is there such a thing as potter umutter? After all, Shmuel said there are only three cases in all of the Hilchos Shabbos that are actually potter umutter. To which the Gemara says, ki itzterich le Shmuel piturei deka'ovid maisa piturei delo ka'ovid maisa ikatuva. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, you're right. When did Shmuel say that there are only three cases of Potter Umutter? So we'll take a quick look at Rashi. So Rashi points out over here, Ki itzrichale la'ashmo inan b'de Potter Umutter b'hanach de'isbehu maisa k'gon hani tlas b'su laka. But Shmuel said that there are only three cases of Potter Umutter. What did he mean?
They actually did something.
Oh, there are only three cases of Potter Umutter that involve a maisa. That involve a maisa. But cases of pater umutter that don't involve a maisa, there are plenty of cases like that. So going back to our Mishnah, therefore you could look at the first cases in the Mishnah, the guy who's not chayiv in the first part of the Mishnah is essentially what? He's totally passive. Like, so for example, so just to give you the idea, if the Ani goes ahead and takes his basket, the Ani standing in Rosh Hasharabim, extends his basket into Rosh Hashanah, places it in the Balabas's hand, so the Balabas has not done anything. He's totally passive. So Shmuel would say that works for Pater Umutter. When I said that there are only three cases of Pater Umutter, that means three cases of where a person is doing something that it's Pater Umutter. To which the Gemara says, Miko Makom, Tarti Sari Havyon. Okay, so therefore you've taken off the possibility that it's going to be 16 cases. But is there not still a possibility that it should be 12 cases? To which the Gemara says, Miko Makom, Tarti Sari Havyon, Piture da Asi Behuli Dechi of Chatas Kachashiv. De Lo Asi Behuli Dechi of Chatas Lo Kachashiv. So the Gemara says the following. You're right, but you know what? The only cases that the Mishnah counts is which cases? Cases in which if somebody did it if somebody did the full maisa, they would go ahead and become chayiv chiyuv chatos. But cases that can never ultimately result in a chiyuv chatos, the tana of the Mishnah does not count. So the Gemara says the following: Shnei and Peturin. So if you remember again, the last part of the Mishnah focused on the concept of that if two people do the malacha collaboratively, then halacha lemaisa they're potter. So the Gemara says, but why? Vaha is avida melacha mebenaihu. So the Gemara is bothered by this idea. How could it be that if two people do malacha, granted they did it together, but at the end of the day, the result of their collaborative effort is what? Is malacha. So how can you say that they're totally potter? To which the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Omer. See, so here the Gemara quotes the pasuk. The pasuk is va'asher me. Here, let me read you the whole pasuk. V'mevesh achos techata b'shkaga. If a nefesh goes out and commits a chait b'shogeg, me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa achos mimitzos Hashem asher lo te'asena va'ashem. When the person goes ahead, me'am ha'aretz among the nation, does something or violates something from one of the mitzvos that Hashem said not to do, and is culpable. So the Gemara darshins, me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa ha'ose es kula velo ha'ose es miktsasa. So the Gemara darshins from the fact that the pasuk says ba'asosa me'am ha'aretz, when a person from among the nation ba'asosa means what, Rabosai? Will do the act. So the Gemara darshins from there, yochid va'asa osa chayiv. What do we see from this pasuk? That you only chayiv what? If one person did the malacha himself mitchila v'ad sofa. However, yochid va'asa osa chayiv. Shnayim va'asu osa Peturin, but if you have two people who work collaboratively, they're potter. So we'll say, at the end of the day, so when the Gemara says, how could it be that two people are going to be potter if at the end of the day malacha results, what's the answer? The answer is, gzeres hakosev. Gzeres hakosev, that's what the pasuk says. Remember, Rabbi said, whenever you have a gzeres hakosev, you don't need svara. Because the Gemara's question is predicated on a svara idea, right? The Gemara says, how could it be that if malacha resulted, even if it happened from collaborative effort, that they should be exempt? And the answer is, because they are. Right, the answer is ba'asosa, because the Torah Davka phrased it that it's only when one person does the malacha that they're chayiv, but if two do it, they're not chayiv. Itmar nami, amar b'chiyeh bagamda, nizirka mipi chabura, va'amru ba'asosa, yochid sha'asa chayiv, shnayim sha'asua pturin. So the Gemara says over here, the Gemara uses this lashon. B'chiyeh bagamda also said, nizirka mipi chabura. It's actually interesting lashon. What does it mean, nizirka mipi chabura? It literally was thrown out of the mouth of the chabura, of the group. Right, what Rav Chiya Bar Ganda is coming along to say, he's coming to support this drasha, and just saying, lest you think that it's a das yochid, it's not. The chabura, the collaborative group, also came to the same conclusion. Va'amru, and they said, ba'asosa. When the Torah uses the lashon of when he commits the malacha, yochid sha'asa chayiv, shneim sha'asu ha'pturin. And also, by the way, that is halacha lemaisa. Right, so the Rambam codifies this, and Hilchos Shabbos Shulchan Aruch brings it down that halacha lemaisa, the only time you're chayiv on Shabbos is if a yochid completes the malacha. Any time that malacha is done collaboratively, halacha lemaisa, everybody is exempt. Now, Bosai, remember, what does exempt mean?
You don't need to be correct for one.
Potter aval aser. Right, it's still going to be collaborative malacha will still be aser midirabon, and it's not potter aval mutter like the first case in Mishnah. Still potter aval aser, but potter nevertheless.
That's any malacha.
We're going to see. Hotzah is the easiest malacha to illustrate this by, because other malachos we're going to see. We're going to talk about this concept of shnayim shasua. We're going to spend a lot of time on this. Hotzah is the easiest one to cut, because hotzah has very clear and defined, you know, metrics for the malacha. So if, in Rosh Sarabim, it's dalet amos, which means by definition, if you know we need to transport something, I carry it too, hand it off to you, you carry it too. By definition, neither of us done the malacha, right? You need one person does the akir, another person does the hanacha. By other malachas, it becomes much shadier. Okay. We'll see. Well, so now interesting shaila. Boy, we need Rav Meirebi. Rav asked the following kasha from Rebbe. What's the kasha? Hit ino chavero ochlin. Hit ino chavero ochlin. Umashkin va'otzion lochotz mahu. Well, so listen to this interesting shaila. What happens if you loaded up your friend with food? Okay, let's illustrate this. So my friend is standing in his house. I load him up with a backpack. I fill him up with food. Now Rashi points out, Why food? Rashi says, Orcha de milsa nokit. Davar hatzarech l'shabbis, v'derech b'nei adam l'asik b'hen b'shabbis. Because truth is, if you're going to be dealing with the case of Hotsa, what else are you carrying on Shabbos, you know, besides your, besides your food? So the point that Rashi is making just is the case is not limited to food, it's just the Gemara chooses to deal with the question in the most lamaisa way possible. So listen to this. So Reuben's standing in Rosh Hashayachid, and I load the food on him. Now, you'll see why it's dafka that I'm loading the food on him as opposed to Reuben lifting up the backpack himself. Oh, because if Reuben lifts up the backpack himself, then what? He did the Akira. So the Shiloh over here is I'm putting the food on him. I'm putting the food on him, and what happens? Votes. And now Reuben walks from the Rosh Hashayachid into the Rosh Hasharabim. Mahu, what is the halacha in such a case? Akiras gufo ka akiras chefetz mim komo dami umechayiv. On one hand, we could say that the Rabbos say maybe even though Reuben didn't put the backpack on his body, but you know what? The moment that Reuben took a step, right? That in and of itself is an Akira, right? That uprooting his body is in and of itself like Akira's chefetz mimkomo, so that when Reuben, so now again, Reuben's standing in his house. When Reuben takes a step in the Rosh Hashayachid, he was oker, the item, he uprooted the item, and then when he went ahead and what? Went into Rosh Hasharabim, when he stopped walking, he was maniach the item. Oh, Dilmalo? Or maybe not. Maybe Akira is Akira is Akira, and it's a very specific, with the 625, it's a very specific act, a very specific act where a person, mamish, lifts something up biyadayim. And if you're not lifting it up biyadayim, that's not called Akira. Therefore, what would happen when Reuben went ahead and took the backpack into Rosh Hasharabim? Pazravalosir. Well, we're going to just go with Pazra right now. So Amar Lechayiv. So remember, Rav is asking some Rebbe. Rebbe said, Chayiv, ve'eino dome liyad. And it's not comparable to the case of the yad. Now, what's the case of the yad? Take a look at Rashi. Ve'eino dome liyad, hapshuta lifnim, v'gufo lochutz, v'nosan balabayis l'socha, depoter be'tana demasnisen afla oni shahotzia. So they will say, here's what's interesting. You see, you might have thought like this. This seems to be a case in our Mishnah. The oni goes ahead and puts his hand into the Rosh Hashayachid. Balabayis goes ahead and puts the item in. Ani takes it out. That was one of the cases of Ptur, right? Where the Ani is Potter. Why? Because the Ani when Ani didn't do the Akira in the Rosh Hashayachid. So the Gemara, so Rebbe answers and he says that this case of where I loaded up Reuven is not like the case of the Yad. They know Domal Yad, my timer. Why is it not the case of the Yad? Very simple. Gufo Nayich, Yodo Lo Nayich. Because Rebbe Osai, the body is at rest, the Yad was never at rest. So because the Yad was never at rest, so therefore when the Yad receives, the Ani's Yad receives the basket from the Balabayas, that's not called an Akira. When I put the knapsack on Reuven with all of the food in it, Reuven's body is at rest. When he then moves his body, that is what? That's called an Akira. Look at Rashi. Yadolo Naich, Rashi says, Hilchov, Kiyotzia. Therefore, when you go ahead and the Ani removes his hand from the Rosh Hashayachid, lo akar miti, he didn't do an Akira, ve'ein derech hotza, but lo Akira v'hanocha. You can't violate hotza if he didn't have an Akira and hanocha. Gufa nayich, al gabi karko, v'havya Akira. So I will say, essentially, when your body is at rest, a body at rest is as if what? It's sitting on the ground. So that when you go ahead and you take your first step, that is tantamount to lifting up the knapsack, putting it on you, and then moving. So, gufo naich yodol naich. Amarle. No, what he's saying is by definition, a hand is always moving. So by definition, even a stationary hand is not considered at rest. As opposed to a stationary body is considered at rest. Right? The chiddush over here is that even though the hand is an extension of the body, the hand is still reckoned differently than the guf itself. That's why the case of the Mishnah, the case that Gemara is bringing down over here is very specific of hitino. It's not saying you put it in his hands. It's saying what? You loaded it on his guf, on his body. That's the chiluk over here. Bipashtos. The assumption would therefore be right. If I catch up with Reuven as he's walking out of the house and I slipped a knapsack on him and he was never at rest, he would not be in violation of Otzah. Enochinami. Enochinami. Amrali Ravchia Lurav. Amrali Ravchia Lurav. So Ravchia said to Rav, Bar Pachsi. We know this is the beautiful part also now of having finished the Masechta. We've seen these terminologies already. Right? Bar Pachsi Rashi says, Ben Gedolim, son of great people. Lo Amina Lacha. Lo Amina Lacha. Ki koi. So listen to this. This is actually very interesting. I remember I was saying, let's trace the progression over here. This was Rav was asking this from Rebbe. Rav asked Rebbe this question. So after this whole thing happens, Rav Chia pulls Rav aside and he says, "Listen, Bar Pachzi, you're a Talmud Chacham. Lo amin alacha. Haven't I told you before? Ki koi Rebbe b'hai mesechta lo tishayli b'mesechta achrisi. When Rebbe is learning a particular mesechta, don't ask him shailas from another mesechta. Don't ask him shailas from another mesechta. Right? Why? Dilma lavadaiti. Because maybe he's not going to know the answer. Right? So Rav say, what Rav Chia is saying to Rav is, listen, Rebbe's not learning Shabbos. You understand what this means? You know that Rebbe knew Shabbos when he wasn't learning Shabbos better than we know Shabbos when we've been learning Shabbos for 25 years. It doesn't make a difference. But they're saying Derech Eretz. Rav Chia is saying Derech Eretz, that Rav, don't ask Rebbe a shayla that there's a potential that he's not going to know the answer for it, right? If he's not engaged in the mesechta, meaning find someone else who's learning that mesechta and ask them the shayla. Dima lav adaiti. Di'i lav, the Rebbe gavra rabohu, kasafte, the mishani lecha shinuye, the lav shinuyahu. Because if Rebbe wasn't such a great person, it could be that you would have embarrassed him, and he would have given you an answer that wasn't the correct answer. Now, granted, that didn't happen over here. Now, it seems to be what Rav Chia was really telling Rav is, the concern really wasn't as much for Rebbe as it might have been for other Talmidei Chacham who are not as great as Rebbe. So, be careful when you ask someone a shayla, ask them something that they're holding in, but be careful not to ask something they're not holding in. Hashta mias shapir mishani lecha. Now, Rav, it's okay. Don't worry. It worked out fine. Rebbe gave you the right answer. Disanya, because actually this happens to be an explicit braisa. Hoya ton ochlin umashkin mi ba'od yom. If a person was carrying on his back food and drinks while it was still day, votzion lochutz mishecha shecha chayiv. So here again, the Braisa says it explicitly, that if a person was loaded up with stuff, let's say while it was still day, but he ultimately transferred the item from one rishus to another rishus when it got dark, when it was Shabbos, so very important. So first of all, it teaches us another important ideas. Number one, it teaches us that a hand that is at rest is not considered stationary. Very important you sewed. That's why, I know many of you had the shayla this morning, that's why in the case of where the Ani reaches his hand inside and the balabayis puts the object in his hand and the Ani takes it out, the Ani is not chayiv in that case, because it's not considered as if the Ani did the akira, because ultimately akira means lifting something up from a place of rest. Because the hand is not at rest, placing something into it is not considered to be an akira. But a guf at rest is considered to be at rest, right? And therefore, aloha lemaisa, if somebody puts something on your guf in a stationary position and then you move, that is called an akira. Amar Abaye, pshita li yodo shel adam eino. Oh, so was now an interesting shayla. Amar Abaye, pshita li yodo shel adam eino lo kirushus harabim lo kirushus hayochim. A person's hand is not like rishus harabim and not like rishus hayochim. Look at Rashi. Amar Abaye, pshita li mimasnisin di yodo shel adam apshuta rishus acheres. Eino nizrekes achar gufo. Eino nizrekes achar gufo legamre. Lios kirshishu omid ba. Bein shur shayach bein shur shesram. So we'll say, so it says Rashi fills in the very important blanks. That what's clear from the Mishnah is, when you extend your hand into another rishus, your hand is not like the rishus where the rest of your body is. See, we'll get this very interesting discussion. You know where this comes up all the time, just a quick commercial break. How much time do we have? Oh, a whole 5 minutes. Good. I'll spend 20 seconds on this. You know, interesting shayla that comes up is, okay, if you have a tree and your branches grow into someone else's yard, who's mechuyev to take care of the overgrown branches? So big machlokas in halacha. And what is the machlokas for? What's the fundamental machlokas? Right. Where do we look at the branch? Well, do we look at the branches where they are, or do we look at the branches from where they emanate? And since they emanate from my property, they're my problem, even if they extend onto your property. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, I might have thought that what's the status of a hand? Well, a hand is not an independent entity, right? A hand just happens to be attached to the rest of a body. So therefore, aloch lemaisa, wherever the body is, that's where the hand should be also. Now, we clearly see that what? That's not the case. Because again, we see that already from the Mishnah, that if the Ani goes ahead and reaches into Rosh Hashanah Yochid and pulls out the basket, that the Ani is Chayiv. And we don't say, since the Ani is standing with Rosh Hashanah, his hand was Rosh Hashanah also. That's how Bai says, Pshita li, yado shal adam, ein lo kish sarabim, lo kish sayachid. Bai says, clear to me that a person's hand is not like Rosh Hashanah, not like Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? That wherever you're standing, rather Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, your hand doesn't immediately follow where it is that you're standing. It's clear that a hand is not like Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that? From the case of the Ani. Because what do we learn from the Ani, Rabbi Osai? When the Ani is standing in Rosh Hashanah, when his hand reaches into Rosh Hashanah, that hand does not have the status of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. And we know that a hand is not automatically like Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that? From the case of the Baal HaBayis. That when the Baal HaBayis extends his hand from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, his hand doesn't automatically retain the identity or the identity of Rosh Hashanah. Boye Abaye. Yodo shel adam maushti aseke karmelis. So we'll say, here's the interesting shayla. Can a person's hand become a karmelis? So we'll say, I'll explain this question, then we'll have to stop over here. A karmelis, we're going to see, I think I mentioned it in passing this morning, but a karmelis is a rishus that essentially is nishtahin nishtaher. That on one hand, it's not a rishus harabim because it does not conform to the details, right, of a rishus harabim. But at the same time, it's not a rishus hayochid. But at the same time, it's also not a makom p'tur. A makom p'tur means an area that is that is not anything. It's clear, not anything by default. It's by definition, it's not any of the other rishuyos. So the karmelis is an area that has identities like a Rosh Hashanah, but not fully like Rosh Hashanah, but it's also not a Rosh Hashanah. So now that I understand that a hand can't be a Rosh Hashanah, can't be a Rosh Hashanah. Now what does that mean? That your hand doesn't automatically follow the rishus in which you're standing. Is it possible to classify a hand as a karmelis? Now, on both sides, identifying a hand as a karmelis could create a very intriguing halachic problem, which is that if your hand is a karmelis, it could very well be that if you extend it into another rishus, then what? It would be usher for you to pull it back over the course of Shabbos. All right, well, you'll see this for homework in Meretz Hashem. We'll stop over here. Sunday morning in Meretz Hashem, we will pick up from the top of Daled. Top of Dalit.
What time?